The next application is 5.5, which is on pages 51 to 72 on the iPad version and probably on the paper version as well, which is the application at 10 Broomhill Avenue, Pennycook. Mr. Arslow.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to reviews submitted regarding an application for the erection of a two-storey and single-storey extension at 10 Broomhill Avenue, Pennycook. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 31st of January 2018. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, the 9th of April 2018. The review is to proceed by way of written submissions, and following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Okay, we were there yesterday. We saw what the lay of the land was, and indeed, Mr. Randolph pointed out the various parts to the extension. Comments? Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I read with some amusement, actually, about this going to spoil the appearance of this house, I think, in the recommendations to refuse. I don't think if you threw a hand grenade at that house, you could spoil the appearance of that house. It's one of the most hideous-looking houses. I'm sorry if the people that own it are here, but it was horrendous. I mean, anything would be an improvement on that house. So I don't know how we've arrived at this point.
Yeah, Chair, I mean, in terms of assessing the application, obviously the planning officers have been out, assessed it, considered the extensions, and then reached the recommendations. The sort of thought process are set out in the paperwork before you, especially on page 67, which is the officer's assessment of it. And the concern stems from, in terms of the appearance, is to do with the different mixes of the roof styles. You've got a mono-pitched roof style, you've got a hipped roof style, you've got an existing pitched roof, you've got a proposed extension which has multiple steps in it in terms of its dimension. So the officers just assessed it based on that process. Sometimes properties, if they've been on the market, maybe the garden's got a bit overgrown, etc. So I appreciate that some comments felt that maybe needed some TLC, but that's just a judgment there, Chair. So that was one of the reasons for refusal. The other reason for refusal, as we discussed yesterday, was it's the perceived anxiety, that sort of the impact on the neighbour in property in terms of being over-dominant and overbearing on the neighbour. So that was the other reason for refusal.
I'm just looking at figure 7, the artist's impression, and to me, because it's a lower roof height that comes out towards the neighbour's property, I don't see that it impedes too much on them.
Okay, Chair, it's a judgment for you to make. I mean, obviously, the officers felt that based on the sort of the two-storey extension to the back where we were standing yesterday, and the additional single-storey extension to the side, close up to that boundary, took a different view. Just to let you know as well, there was obviously that objection from the neighbour as well, so their view was that it was going to be over-dominant as well. But it's a judgment call. That's what you're one of the things you're key to your judgment today is to make that decision, Chair.
I think the only thing... Oh, sorry, Councillor Baird, go on.
That's fine. Don't apologise. Is it within our gift then if the neighbour is concerned about it being overbearing? Because I'm mindful that the proposal is for the roof to keep coming down the way. So looking, because from what I remember, the house is lower, much lower down. So they're worried about looking up and seeing less sky, effectively. I don't think that should be too much of a concern. Is it within us to recommend then that that side of the building be shielded by like greenery or something like that, so it doesn't actually the neighbours don't actually see it?
Chair, just to let you know, when you're reviewing an application, it is within your gift to amend the proposal slightly, but not significantly. So there's a judgment call to be made. If you're looking about additional screening, I don't know whether that will actually help, but you could. There's not a huge amount of gap between the proposed extension and then the existing boundary that's already there, but it's an option, but I don't really see that would actually gain much in terms of appeasing the issue that is either there or not there. It depends on your point of view.
The relevant bit for me in the in the planning officer's report was that there have been a number of meetings on site, and that in actual fact the agent and the planning officer had accepted that there could be an alternative, not actually making any difference to the overall footprint and size. And it just seems to me that there was an opportunity to have the revised scheme, and the only problem is that it's this one's in front of us, not the revised scheme. And, you know, the only way you could to get a revised scheme in is to actually reject the appeal. And that would then alleviate the problem with the neighbour that you were alluding to, Councillor Baird. And that's what I was looking for. I was trying to find the wording that's in there. There is an alternative. There's actually drawings sitting there at the moment that could actually be enacted if the appeal was actually turned down. That's all. Just a wee bit of guidelines there. Councillor Muirhead.
I find these kind of decisions on this type of application quite difficult, because when the reasons for refusing is kind of, it's about the look of the thing and how the planning officer feels it relates to the other properties round about. And I think, you know, when we, as Peter says, the property could maybe do with a wee bit TLC, and I think you've just got to sort of judge that property as it would have looked when it was, you know, when it was new, and you know the garden was tended and things like that. Again, I've not really got anything that I would say that I would disagree with what the planning officer said here. My taste might be different for his, and you know, but it does look kind of overly dominant in comparison to the rest of the property. It's a huge extension. So I'm kind of minded just to go along with you know, rejecting the appeal, to be honest with you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that reading the report is because there's a disabled person going to be living in this house, and to accommodate their needs, they're going to have to make this extension to these dimensions. I think this is how they envisage, by the reading the in between the lines, it's going to make the house livable and habitable for these people, for this person. So to say it's overbearing, I think that saying that little window at the side next door is going to be life-changing for the people in the house next door is kind of, to me, poetic license, because I had a look at that window. It's no more than 3 foot by 3 foot. So I wouldn't envisage somebody standing at that window every day looking out at the view, or at the, you know, because they're looking at a white wall at the moment, or a brick wall, whatever it was. So to me, that's the life-changing part is going to be for the people that are living in the house with the extension. And I think we have a care of duty, if I'm not mistaken, to help people with disabilities to live in houses that are customised to their needs. So I don't think the people next door, their life is going to be overly impacted and overly burdened by what this extension is going to bring. And I mean, we could sit here all day and argue about the aesthetics and how the house looks. I judge by my eye. I've built houses. I've bought houses, I've sold houses. That's a horrendous looking house. And that's all I can say. I may be out of line saying that, but in that estate, I don't know if these planners would grant permission to build houses like that these days, because it's, to me, all that extension's going to do is improve that street.
I don't think it's the principle of the end user, so to speak. That's not the thing. I think the planners were just trying to satisfy both parties. In other words, there's an objection in there. The planning officer has to address that thing. As far as I understand it, and I did ask a question on this, the actual reconfigured version actually still gives you the same amount of internal space. It's just that it's been reconfigured in such a way as to not have the same impact on the house next door. Now, that just seems... that's a judgment call. Of course it is. And I'm not saying it isn't, but that's why we're here, looking at that. And it would have been nice if there could have been a little bit more, let's say, discussion and a coming together between the thing. But the problem is the application has been put to us, and we have to make that judgment call. It's not about trying to not have something happening there. It's about trying to have something happening there that actually helps both parties.
So, am I right in believing there's only one objection to this in the whole street? One person, and it's because of this little window at the side of the house?
Chair, it's not because of the window. It's because of the scale of the two-storey extension and the single-storey extension. It's the concern that's the neighbour's only kitchen window, and at the moment, because of the level change which you saw yesterday, they're already looking out onto the side of a house. If you extend that built form quite significantly, that's going to be overbearing on that kitchen and the person's amenity based on using their property. That's the issue. And I suppose you're trying to judge whether the scale of the extension proposed, does it have an overbearing impact on that property or not, and you're trying to make that judgment. I think, picking up some of your other points, though, it is worth just making the point that this isn't about necessarily saying no to the principle of the house extension. As the Chair was explaining, the planning authority is not against quite a substantial extension. If you remember yesterday on site, it's quite a sizeable garden. It can quite accommodate quite a sizeable extension. But as the Chair said, you've got an issue in the paperwork which relates to the neighbouring property. It's just about trying to find that balance. So that's why it was refused, because in an ideal world, you would meet both everyone's needs here. You would meet the needs of the occupier, the owner. You would do it in a way which didn't impact on in terms of the aesthetics of the building, or indeed the neighbour next door. And it's just that juggling act that balances. So it's not against the principle of it, or even against the principle of quite a sizable extensions, Chair. And I appreciate the paperwork does make reference to the user being disabled. Totally sympathetic to that, and would happily try and help that, but there's also balancing that with the impact it has.
It's not trying to bully in any way. It's actually just trying to find a way forward. And I think what's in front of us doesn't, as let me put it this way, what's in front of us probably doesn't address what an alternative could address, and therefore the only way to do it is to uphold the planning officer's decision, and then they can come back with an amended application, and I'm sure we won't even see it coming back here, because it will go through, because it's not the principle, it's actually about the configuration, and therefore I'm quite happy to uphold the to dismiss the appeal and uphold the planning officer's decision, because I do think there's a way forward here. I really do.
Hey, I'd like to move that we uphold the appeal.
Seconder for that. Councillor Baird. Okay, so there's one to uphold the appeal and one to dismiss the appeal. So we'll take dismiss first. Given that was it. two, and three. Okay.
To clarify, that's the grant planning permission for your extension. Yeah. And that there's just one condition there. I presume that's it's okay. It's just there's an inaccuracy in the drawing, so it's just getting the agent to clarify the inaccuracy. But that was the only condition. Sure.
Item 5.6, which is the application for at 3 Bankmill View, Penny Cook, which is on pages 73 to 92. Mr. Arsdorf.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the installation of replacement windows and doors at 3 Bankmill View, Pennycook. A planning application for the proposed development was granted permission on the 10th of November 2017, subject to conditions. The applicant is asking the local review body to remove those conditions, the consequence of which would see the installation of white UPVC windows and a red UPVC door. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. Again, the local review body carried out a site visit yesterday. This is to proceed by way of written submissions, and a decision will be issued through the chair in the normal way following the decision.
Thanks very much. And I have to say, if it had been red and white, I think I might have been saying no way, Jose, but Mr. Arnsdorf has brought a sample. I feel like a salesman here. Mr. Arnsdorf has brought a sample of the UPVC that would be used, which is green in colour. And I have to say that UPVC has come a long way when you actually see it coloured. It's a heck of a lot better than white UPVC as I remember it. Do we have a right to? I think we do, but I can never recall. I don't want to wrong foot people.
Yeah, it's slightly confusing this because the applicant started off in the proposal wanting white UPVC with a red door, but as part of the negotiations, we got into a conversation about whether a sort of green UPVC would be acceptable. And in the end, the planning authority granted permission for green UPVC around the back only. So you'd have timber at the front, back, and UPVC at the back. But effectively, Chair, you could almost keep it quite simple and make a decision about whether you're happy with UPVC. That's your first question. The second question is, if you are, what colour would you like it to be? If you're not happy with the UPVC, then you stick with the timber. So if you decide the materials first, and then you pick a colour.
I think that having seen that sample, like yourself, from the old school of looking at PVC, the smooth white PVC, that could almost pass as wood. So I wouldn't have any objection to them changing it to PVC. So,
yeah, I think that's the first decision we've got to take, because up until now, that is a conservation area, and there's a kind of no go on that. And although, did you say you allowed it around the back of the house?
Yeah, Chair in the back.
Cheat.
Just trying to be helpful, Chair.
I know. I have to say that the configuration of all the houses around there, it just looked as if they had been there for a while longer than probably they have. And I was a bit iffy about going off colour, so to speak. But I don't know. I mean, I have to say that UPVC like that and that colour, I would go along with, but I'm open to what people think. Bearing in mind what we think about UPVC, conservation areas, etc., and that's the dilemma. Eh? Sorry, not in case of your head.
I just think we've got to be really careful about changing overall policy. If in a conservation area. That we want people to install timber windows, then we should stick to that. If that's what the rules are in that area, that's what we should stick to. Because what happens in these circumstances, when we've done it before, we've gone out on site visits, and Planners have said, no, these windows have got to be timber. This is a conservation area. And then you're standing on the street with the applicant's going, what about that one? What about that one? You know, so they're pointing to inconsistencies in their approach. This is where it starts. When you get an individual application like this coming forward and you say, aye, okay, we'll let this one go, then his neighbours will be coming in. And before I'm not against, if people want to change policy and how we deal with conservation areas, then fine. But we should do that on a rational basis and not just make individual kind of ad hoc decisions about these things. I didn't personally, I mean, I'm sitting in a listed building. It wasn't listed when I put my windows in, I have to say, and I've got UPVC windows in as well, and they are absolutely, but they look they look like wood, but they're clearly no. So as I say, we've got these rules for a reason, and if we want to change the rules, fine, but we shouldn't do it for individual cases like this, albeit I know you judge everyone on an individual basis, but we've got to be careful about the precedent that you're setting.
I think you're right in policy terms, but it doesn't help when you have the planning advisor sitting beside you telling the local review body that in actual fact they've allowed it on the back of the house, a UPVC, and it, you know, and I did hear that right, didn't I, for the third time. That particular house, Jim, that's why I was a bit sort of, I do agree with you, by the way, and Temple was a good example. If you hadn't been up there, a couple of times I've been up there over the years, and it's absolutely horrendous because you go up there, and as Councilman Head says, the applicant's out there saying, you know, why are you doing it? Why are you up here? Well, look at this. And, you know, you try to keep your policy, you know, as per, and it only comes out when it comes to appeal. It doesn't actually come out for the run-of-the-mill applications that planning officers deal with. If it goes through, nobody bothers. If it doesn't go through, nobody bothers. If it doesn't go through and somebody appeals, that's when the bother comes in. Now, having heard what their advisor has said to us, that the back of the house is being allowed to get that, it kind of puts you in a dilemma of a position. The difficulty we have is we have a whole line of supplementary planning guidance, maybe not written up yet, so you've got a chance to amend it, that actually says in certain things, certain areas, this, that and the next thing can happen. So the dilemma for us is, that, you know, you can't just write policy on the hoof. Now, remember, we tried to do that before about flat roofs. You can't do it that way. You've actually got to have a rational discussion on it and let the planners come away and come back with a paper that would actually say what can and cannot be done. But I have to say that, you know. Likewise, Councillor Baird, you're going to help us out here.
Just to bring some rationality to the debate then, would I be right in thinking that the reason he wants to change from wood to UPVC is to improve the energy efficiency of the house?
Excuse me, Nicola, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this, because there's a perception that the UPVC is more energy efficient, it's easier to clean, it's easier to maintain. And there's an element of that in some regard, but if you do maintain and look after timber windows, they do actually last longer. It just takes more effort to maintain. But you can have timber double glazing, you can have timber with high spec glass in it. So it's not, it's, I wouldn't sit here and say to you it's an automatic that because it's UPVC, it's therefore a better spec of window in terms of energy efficiency or easier to maintain. It's, you can get high quality double glazed timber windows. I hope that sort of answers the question.
Well, I couldn't help you, Councillor Baird. It was a good try. But carry on, supplementary. No, I'll bring you in just now, Councillor Alexander.
I suppose then the follow-on question would be what was the applicant's rationale for having it changed and not just going for more wood?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not 100% sure, Chair, but yesterday when he came out of his house, he said he was just after an easier life maintaining and looking after them. So that's just take those words at face value, I think.
Looking at the colour of it and how it would look compared to a newly painted doors and windows, and that after 20 years there's probably going to be more people wanting to repaint all their doors and windows, do they have to comply to a certain paint and a certain colour, and will actually in a few years' time there won't actually be any difference between the UPVC and anybody that has repainted their doors and windows, and so it would just fit in?
Yeah, when you're assessing whether it's development and requires planning permission of the control of the plan authority, you're making a judgment based on whether it's materially changed the appearance of the building because it's in a conservation area. I suppose it really gets difficult because you could say if you put that against a highly glossed paint finish, you could end up with a similar sort of sheen to it when they're both new, clean. Other paints are more matte finish, so it really, you know, it's there's more than one finish to paint, so it is difficult at the moment. You remember from the site visit, there's a sort of uniformity about it, which was probably part of its appeal, and you can imagine from the public vantage points, i.e. not the bit at the back, the public vantage points, the plan officers are trying to create and keep that sense of togetherness, that conservation area, that value to it, and that's why they're so protective about the front. But it's a really difficult one because, as Councillor Muirhead's point was raised, you know, you visit conservation areas and one or two windows here have changed, and it becomes a reference point for future applicants. So, you know, it's a case where I wasn't aware of any in that sort of development that had changed. I think this was probably the first one that's up for consideration, so it is a big decision to make about whether the members would happily have UPVC at the front or rather than have timber.
Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you. Peter, could I just ask, do you think this will open the floodgates if we do this? I mean, do you think there's going to be a rush of people, and or do you think it's going to cause controversy in the neighbourhood? I mean, the guy came out yesterday, you're right, and he had a handful of papers, and he was saying, they've got them up there, they've got them around there, and you know, you're on a hiding to nothing here.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's when you assess the original plan application, when that estate was built, you try to create a sense of place, a good quality of urban design, and you hope then that people will like that, love it, look after it, and maintain it. So you by creating a nice environment, people tend to look after about it. So that's your starting point. But as properties grow and need work and maintenance, you're faced with these sort of decisions. Whether you'll get to a sort of floodgate situation, I don't know. I think you might do if you agreed white UPVC, because that would be simply the first of many applications, I would have thought. Green UPVC is slightly unusual. So there may be other people who would say, well, I'm quite happy with the existing timber ones, because if I wanted PVC, it would be white, and if the LRB are saying no, you're not having white, then that's a good starting point. But I don't know whether it would be floodgates or more of a trickle, to be honest. But I just know that it does make the next decision more difficult if you make a particular decision today. You know, if you're saying UPVC is acceptable today, then it makes it more challenging further down the line. So it does have an impact, yeah.
That was helpful. Chris Alexander.
Could it be made a condition that it has to be the green UPVC, and that any further
changes,
you know, to any of the other houses, that they also use the green UPVC so that it keeps it uniform?
Yeah, I mean, Chair, in terms of the paperwork, page 75, there's a without prejudice condition, which if you're minded to to support it, it would be the replacement windows and doors shall be green UPVC as per the sample provided. And that was the date the sample was provided, so it's that. If this application was determined on that basis, then that condition would come into effect for this property. And as a plan department, we would then reference that as people came forward at their own property and say, well, the planning authority, i.e. the council, was determined on this property that that was acceptable. White wasn't acceptable, but that was acceptable. So we would try and be then consistent with that approach. So although we can't condition through this application other properties, because that's not subject to this, we would use that as a reference point for those considerations.
I'll maintain my consistency, Chair, and move we dismiss this appeal as well. As I say, if we want to change the policy, fine, we can have a discussion about it, but the planners acted correctly, in my opinion, in rejecting this application.
Councillor Alexander.
I would actually agree with the appeal and that we allow it on the condition that they use the green UPVC.
Datary.
I am torn. I think that when I was listening to this, and originally when he was asking for UPVC, I was like, I just assumed always wanting to replace like the single pane, like wood, you know, like the ones you get in Edinburgh, those kind of windows for UPVC. But hearing that that's not really the issue. It's more of a maintenance kind of thing, and not so much a energy kind of thing. Because I feel like I could have made an exception if it was going to significantly improve his energy consumption, and that's obviously something that's good. But if it's purely just down to not having to paint it every 5-10 years, I can't really justify it on that basis. But like as Jim said, we probably do need to review the policy on things like this. But I'm not necessarily calling for that today because it's a whole kind of.
So is that a no?
That's a no. Good. Yeah.
So we dismiss the appeal and uphold the original planning application. Fine. And last but not least is 75 Castle Law Crescent, Bolston, which is on pages 93-110.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the erection of an extension at 75 Castle Law Crescent, Bilston. Plan application for the proposed development was refused on the 18th of December 2017. Copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. Again, carried out a site visit yesterday. It's to proceed by way of written submissions, and again, the decision notice will be issued following your decision.
Open up for questions, comments. Councillor Baird.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first thing that jumped out at me about this was we were talking about the symmetry of the two buildings, and immediately when we looked at the other house, I noticed it's got a tiny wee porch that the other house doesn't have, so it's already somewhat out of whack. But so I'm worried that there's going to be a bit of whataboutery in this. It's like, well, you said that was fine to have a porch on the other house, but obviously this is of a completely different magnitude. I just wonder, would they have needed planning permission to have had that porch?
Yeah, Chair is just asking me that funny. Yeah. And yeah, you're right, you know, residential properties have what we call permitted development rights. They can carry out certain works without the requirement of a planning application. Small porches on residential properties, one of those pieces of works that you can undertake without a planning application. So without measuring it up, I would speculate as much probably permitted development. But I think the issue about, going back to the issue about the symmetry, it was, wasn't so much the porch, if you remember, that's the sort of roofscape and the roof pitch and the size of the building. So although there is that difference because of the porch, the overall symmetry was still there or thereabouts. And if you remember looking around the other properties, there was almost a symmetry between all the pairs of the buildings there.
I mean, the only thing I... Well, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I quite agree about the symmetry. I think that the house, the position it sits in, the two houses, if they'd been in the middle of a block in a straight street, but when you look at it, it does have... I'd never noticed these houses before, and I've been round there, but it does have a lovely look when you stand back. It's got a nice... The roof lines and stuff, so... You know, I don't think the box on the front makes much odds, to be honest.
I was just going to say, for a council estate that was built all these years ago, the architect has actually given a lot of thought to the entrance there, and I think that's what hits you. You don't realise until you go to see something like this, actually, what's actually there, because you're usually looking at letterboxes, as we all know. But seriously, you know, there was... You know, that to my mind, just would take that impact away and it would affect it. But, I mean, that's just, it's a balance. Again, it's a judgment call, again, for what you, how you feel for it. Am I getting any feel that anybody wants to say yes? Councillor Muirhead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's clearly, it's not like they've designed this to make it look interesting. They've designed it simply to correspond with the way that the gardens are set, because it's coming back at an angle, you know, and that's the pure reason for angling it around like that, which is causing them all the problems in terms of the shape of the roof and things like that. It would just look so out of kilter with everything else, I think, and it does, you know, looking front on, in the shape of the thing, you didn't notice the box in the outside the front door of the other house, but you certainly would notice that. I'd happy to dismiss it, yeah.
Sorry, to dismiss the appeal and uphold the original decision. Okay. Right. Thanks very much for your attendance.